We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It is October 5th. It's 2022. Why did I say it's so slow? It's the last day of the regular season for baseball. 15 baseball games. We're only going to talk about 14 because they have taken the Blue Jays and Orioles game off of the slate. So we're going to break down the 14 games on the main slate. All of the games starting within like 10 minutes of each other. Day, afternoon, baseball, depending on where you live. Nothing really to be settled. I mean, as far as the playoffs. So we don't know half the pitchers that are going to pitch in this. And we don't know what the lineups are going to look like for some of these teams. But we're here. I got Keith Eister, Eyes819, again, coming back on pinch hitting for Grant, who somehow wrangled Keith into doing the final day of the year podcast. But Keith, I mean, we had some success yesterday. We talked about how Verlander could potentially get a really weak lineup, and that happened. And he took advantage of it. He said, hey, remember me. I want to win Cy Young. How's it going, Keith?
Good. Yeah, that Verlander read was outstanding by you. As soon as you said, yeah, Philly's probably going to roll out a pretty weak lineup, I was completely on board with you. Looked up Verlander's prop this morning. It was sitting at 5.5. I hit that. And then he moved to 6.5 about mid-morning. And it was plus money. It was like, I got it at like plus 118 or something like that. So I hammered it again, and he absolutely demolished. He only went five innings and threw less than 80 pitches, but 10 strikeouts. So anytime he's got that kind of a matchup, just slam him. We knew he was in a great going to be in a great spot because Philly was going to rest some guys. So great call. I was completely on board. That worked out really well.
Yeah, was it Eovaldi, I think, is the next guy? Like, you know, they only played five innings, so he got like a complete game shutout or something and put up like 25. But Verlander scored over 30 with only pitching, the little amount of pitches that he pitched. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it worked out. So, all right, 14 games. We are brought to you by Sleeper Fantasy. If you haven't checked them out, head on over there. They're a unique prop-based fantasy site where you and your friends can enjoy fantasy sports together in a fun and social way with their squads. If you want to join the RG squad, use promo code GRINDERS for a 100% deposit match up to $100. If you're already having an account on Sleeper, you can click in the description of the podcast. There's a link to join the RG squad. Again, I'm posting stuff in there all the time, having a lot of success over there on Sleeper, and just really like their platform. It's really easy to use. So check it out. Sleeper Fantasy, promo code GRINDERS, 14 baseball games. Here we go. We're going to do the best we can. I'm going to preach this probably at least 10 more times on this podcast, but wait until you see lineups. With games starting at 4, you should have all lineups by like 2 o'clock today. wait till you see lineups before you start building your DFS teams.
Yeah, another thing you got right, Rodon with the scratch, man, you were all over that, my man.
Listen, I mean, there was no reason to roll him out there. Just saying. But yeah, wait until you see lineups. It's the last day of the season, so we get started here with the Angels and the Athletics. This game has a 7 total, and the Angels are a 255 favorite. We got Ohtani and Waldachuk. I actually like Ohtani in this spot. We don't really have, depending, like, I don't think we get DeGrom. I don't know if we'll see Corbin Burns pitch or not. I don't really see a need. Kershaw will pitch. I don't think he'll go more than like 80 pitches max. So just full on ceiling. And I don't think Max Fried will pitch. So we'll see.
Atlanta, if he does, I don't know, right?
Yeah, but I don't expect, if he pitches, I don't expect him to go more than like 70 to 80 pitches, because he was dealing with an issue. It was like sickness or something in his last start. So we'll see. I don't think DeGrom pitches. They're playing Friday.
I totally agree with that one.
Yeah, yep. No chance. So I think Ohtani, depending on if Burns pitches or not, I think Ohtani is clearly the top pitcher on the slate, pure ceiling-wise. They're rolling him out there to give him one more like start to make a point for him to win MVP. I mean, argue with me, because that's exactly why he's getting the start here.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. He's not going to get it. Judge got 62 on Tuesday night, so congratulations to him. That's a monster home run, AL home run record. Fantastic that he finally got that done. He's the MVP. You don't see that happen very often. So Ohtani is something you don't see happen very often either. It would have taken something like that for me to name anybody but Ohtani MVP this year. Or really, like, it's going to be hard for Ohtani not to win a bunch of MVPs in my mind, because he's so valuable doing it from both sides. But what Judge did this year was absolutely incredible, totally deserving of the MVP, in my opinion. Onto this game, agree with you. I think, like, the Angels have been out of it for a long time. They've been letting Ohtani go. Ohtani almost no-hit the A's in his last start. So another fantastic spot coming back again against this A's team, and in Oakland this time, which is an even better ballpark. Massive strikeout upside, fantastic matchup. Agree. Like, I agree with you. DeGrom's not going to pitch today, and Burns, we'll see what happens there. I think I still slightly prefer Ohtani, even if Burns does pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I get the 62 home runs, and I do think Judge wins the MVP, but I mean, when you have a guy that has 15 wins as a pitcher, and he's hit, what is it, like 34 home runs, I think.
Yeah.
So 34 home runs and 15 wins as a pitcher, over 200 strikeouts as a pitcher. Like, I mean, there's a conversation, at least, in my opinion. Like, I still think it will be Judge. I'm with you in general. But
so a month ago, I was like, Ohtani is the MVP. Like, he just does something that nobody else can do. But yep, then Judge also did something that nobody else can do. So I think that tilts it slightly to Judge. You've got the voter bias, because Ohtani won it last year as well. I think Judge gets it. I think it's a closer argument than the vote will be, to be honest.
I think it's, I mean, listen, either one of them deserve it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So, yeah, I mean, Ohtani's in a fantastic spot here, facing one of the worst offenses in baseball. This is a spot that I think he goes 90 pitches, 95, but I don't think you're getting any pitcher today, high-end pitcher, going 105 pitches on the last day of the season. It's just, there's no need for it, especially like a guy like Ohtani. I think this is just going to be a building spot for next year. So, yeah, I mean, I played Lorenzen yesterday. So I built one team, and it had Lorenzen and Verlander. So we'll see how it ends up. But, you know, we'll see how the Dodgers do. But, yeah, I mean, no, I don't know, man. It's tough. Waldachuk on the other side of this game, he's 5,200. shown a little bit of upside, strikeouts last time out against Seattle. But overall, it just really hasn't clicked for him yet, and he's a lefty. They have decent numbers here against right or left-handed pitching. I don't think this is a spot I want to play.
Yeah, he needs a little bit more seasoning. Came over from the Yankees in that Montas trade, was the Yankees' top prospect. So long-term outlook looks real good. But he's only in the big leagues because he's on Oakland, and Oakland is desperate for pitching. Not going to chase him here, even at the cheap price tag. Next year, I think we'll be playing him a little bit, but just a little bit too soon for him.
Oh, yeah, big prospect. I mean, this is definitely a guy we're going to talk about for years to come, assuming that he pans out. But another guy, like, is this a guy that you think goes 100 pitches? Probably not. Not one of their best prospects. So any interest here in the Angels bats?
Yeah, I mean, Waldichuk has struggled in his first couple starts here in the bigs. Otani lefty-lefty is totally fine. Oh, I guess you can't play him because he's pitching. So
you can't play
that
him.
Does, yeah, that definitely knocks down the stack anytime you get an Otani pitching day. Trout's a phenomenal play. That price tag on Rengifo, it's tough to swallow that one. He has been good against lefties. I like Taylor Ward a good amount. I did not see what Rendon did. Is Rendon still in the game?
I mean, it's only the third inning. I'm pretty sure he's still in the game.
So, yeah, definitely going to be keeping an eye on that Rendon situation. The first game, he only got two at-bats, and then they pulled him. So we'll see if he gets a full game. If he plays a full game here on Tuesday, then I might have some interest in Rendon. But I definitely want some Trout. I don't know. Levon Soto, I guess you could kind of make a little three-man with that. But Trout and Ward are other priorities. Rengifo's fine. Throw in some Rendon and some Soto.
I want to check really quick. He's priced back up. Rendon, I think, was like 2K on FanDuel yesterday. But he's 3K now. It might have been Yahoo. He might have been Mint. I don't know. I was on salary tax.
He was Mint on FanDuel Monday night.
Yeah, so I was on salary tax yesterday on HQ, and I think he was minimum salary. So I don't mind like a little three-man here. Trout, Ward, Rendon, Rengifo. I think it's fine. Don't think I want to play like Matt Duffy or Adele. Suzuki left the game early, so he might be someone that doesn't even, you know, play here, and we might get Logan Hope or whatever his name is. 2,400, so a cheap catcher. Yeah. Any interest in the Oakland bats?
Not against Otani. No, I mean, he should get 90 pitches or so here. He could go 6-7 innings and 90 pitches. No interest in Oakland for me.
New York Yankees, Texas Rangers, Herman against Otto. 7.5 total in this game. Yankees a 140 favorites. Any interest here in Herman?
I don't mind the matchup against Texas. We'll have to see. If we get Burns, I'll probably be paying up for one pitcher at least in most lineups with Otani and Burns on the slate. Herman's been decent, and that price tag is decent, and the matchup is decent. So we'll see how it shakes out. I'm a little bit concerned about the upside, but I do like the matchup. So I think he's fine at the price. I'm not sure if we'll need him on the slate for sure yet, but he's in play.
I think it's very encouraging if you're liking Herman in this spot that they let Cole go over 100 pitches on Tuesday night. So he's not someone that's like fully stretched out right now, but this could be like one last spot to maybe get him close to like 90 type pitches at 7,300, you know, coming back from bullpen work and stuff like that and like really trying to stretch him out again. I don't know if he'll be someone they'll use in the playoffs as like a starter, but I mean, they're still dealing with some injuries, so you never know. Don't hate the spot. The lineup that Texas has been rolling out, ton of strikeouts. So
yep.
I think if he gets that same type of lineup, he's definitely like someone we should consider. Glenn Otto on the other side of this game, unless the Yankees just fully punt this game because it's the last game and they, you know, need to get ready for the playoffs and Judge hit 62 and stuff like that. I mean, there's no chance I want to play Otto if it's a normal Yankees lineup.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in Otto. Judge is probably back in there, right? They want to see if he can hit another homer or two just to raise that record up. I think Judge will be in there, at least for a couple at-bats. I don't know. We'll have to see what they say.
I think
I do too. Yep, I agree with that.
I think Stanton might sit. Judge got pulled though early. IKF came in for him. I think he only had two at bats on Tuesday night, but didn't he play the early game as well though? So I don't know.
Good point. It was a doubleheader. Yep, that's probably what it was.
So I don't know. Like, I think he DHs here. I think Stanton maybe gets the day off. Maybe Donaldson. They need to get these guys some at bats, but they also need them to be healthy. And one more game isn't really going to make much. So if they all play, I probably am worried a lot about like pinch hit risk here for anyone not named Aaron Judge.
Yeah, definitely. I think outside of Judge, I would be looking cheap to the younger guys. So like Cabrera, Peraza, guys like that. That like
IKF.
He'd be fine. And like the part-time players, like IKF is in there most days, but he hasn't played near as many games as like Judge has.
Batter
and Rizzo and Stanton have been banged up a little bit this year too, so I could definitely see them sitting. But I think there will be some value in this lineup here that you can pair with Judge.
Yeah, Rizzo played the early game on Tuesday, but sat the second game. I wouldn't be shocked if they just say, hey, you know, let's give these guys a break. I mean, they're going to have plenty of time off, but there's no reason for the Yankees, who are in a great spot right now, playoff-wise, to get these guys hurt. Any interest in the Texas bats here?
No, not a ton. Herman is getting more stretched out. I think he's a pretty decent pitcher. Like the guys I want to play are appropriately priced. Seager at 4,600, Semien 4,900, Garcia 4,400. Like that's about where they should be. Herman's a pretty good pitcher. Yankees bullpen is pretty good. There are some cheap guys in the lineup, like Young, Mathias is probably in there. Depending on who's catching, like there's some cheap guys to lower the price of the stack, but I just don't know if the upside's there on a full 15 game slate here that I want to play some Texas.
St. Louis at Pittsburgh, no total in this game. Going to be a common theme that we're going to see today. Libertor against Oviedo. Any interest here in Libertor?
No, he's not stretched out. He has not been very good here in that he's been given a couple cracks at the big leagues this season. Just another young guy, decent prospect, just not quite ready yet. Stuff hasn't translated to the big leagues. I know it's a fantastic matchup against Pittsburgh. You could argue maybe they're kind of a AAA lineup, but I don't know. Just haven't seen anything close to a ceiling from Libertor here early in his career.
Yeah, I just think it's a full-on bullpen game. He goes out and throws 70 pitches, throws a few innings, and the next guy comes in and does the same thing. Like, guys that probably don't end up on their wild card roster are going to see some innings here. And then, like, the other side of this game, Johan Oviedo could potentially be a great tournament play today. Arenado is banged up right now. O'Neill likely... he's out, but likely not going to be ready for the wild card round. So I think Goldschmidt and Arenado definitely sit today. But I wouldn't be shocked if we see a couple other like key pieces in this lineup sit. So this is a lineup-based play. But Oviedo has a 24% K rate. He has a huge strikeout rate against righties. A lot of the guys they would bring in would be right-handed. So just throwing it out there, check the lineups on this one. If it's a normal Cardinals lineup, I don't really have any interest in Oviedo. But if we get a weaker St. Louis lineup, he's a really interesting tournament option at 5,700 because he is stretched out. He is someone they're willing to, you know, throw 100 pitches because they've already shown it. They want to see what this guy is going to do, you know? So I just, you know. This is one of my favorite things to do on the last day of the season is take some chances on guys that, you know, have something to prove that are under contract and stuff like that. Like, this is a good spot for him.
Yeah, I don't hate this. Yeah, I don't hate that call at all. This is a guy that's flashed some upside at times. He had two starts ago against the Cubs. He went seven innings and had seven strikeouts. That's fantastic for 5,700. He's priced like he's facing a full-strength St. Louis lineup. But if you get Goldie or Arenado, even if one of them's out, I think I'm interested here. If both of them are out, I'm absolutely interested. If he gets a watered down lineup, I love this call.
Any interest in the Cardinals bats here?
Yeah, I mean, depending on who's in there, like if Gorman were in there, he's a fantastic play at 3,900 with his power. Newbar and Carlson would be fine as well. Like, it's just going to depend on the lineup as far as how much ceiling I think there is. If Goldie and Arenado are out, it's probably more of like a three-man secondary value stack for me, more than my main five-man stack. But I think you can definitely play both sides of this game. Oviedo has some talent, has some strikeout ability, but he also gives up a lot of hard contact as well. So I have interest in both sides of this game.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a normal lineup, definitely some interest. But if it's a watered-down lineup, I don't think I want to touch it. And Pirates are somewhat interesting. I hate, like, bullpen type of games. But I think, like, as far as some of these Pirates bats, if they're in the lineup, like O'Neill Cruz and, like, Reynolds and stuff, Hayes, like, they'll probably end up playing the whole game. So Haiwan Bay is someone at, like, 2,700. That might go low on because it's lefty lefty to start. So I don't mind, you know, looking at maybe like a little three man. I don't think I'll five man stack much today, like I said yesterday. What are your thoughts here as far as the Pirates bets?
Yeah, I agree with you. I have some interest in a smaller stack here. Reynolds, I think, is a fine play. He's priced way up. But Libertor has really struggled against like these major league hitters, and Reynolds is a very good hitter. There's not much else in this lineup. I don't love Cruz against Libertor lefty lefty, and he's kind of overpriced to sacrifice those first two at bats. I like the Bay call. Andujar, if he's in there, is a guy you could certainly look at. Yeah, I mean, not a ton of talent in this Pirates lineup, but I do have some interest picking on Libertor. Reynolds is the primary guy here. Hayes is fine. Bay is fine. Andujar is fine.
Hayes is just cheap.
Yep.
But, so we'll see how what the lineup
really
looks
rough
like
here for him. But
Jason DeLay is someone else that could potentially be in there.
Cheap catcher. Yep.
Cheap catcher. There's one. Cal Mitchell's lefty, right? Yep. So he probably won't play. All right, Minnesota at Chicago, taking the White Sox. Varland against Martin. that is where we're at. No total in this game. Again, we're going to have a lot of games with no totals today. Any interest here in Varland?
No, the White Sox showed they can score some runs. I'm kidding, but Varland just hasn't shown any upside. Not a huge prospect. Just no interest in playing him on a full slate.
Yeah, I don't want to play Varland, and I don't think I want to play Davis Martin on the other side. He did flash a little bit of upside in his last start. He is stretched out a little bit more. If you're playing 150 teams, he probably makes the list today. He's just not like he's done a great job limiting power in his small sample size this season. It's just the upside that he flashed last time, it seems almost like an outlier. But if you go to like his AAA stats this year, 15% swinging strikes with a 28% K rate. So like maybe he does have stuff and it just hasn't translated well. But man, when you're not dominating Detroit and you're getting three opportunities against them and then you come out and dominate a San Diego team, like I'm going to need you to show it to me more than once. But he is 5,800 and he's someone that could throw 100 plus pitches. He's someone that, you know, we didn't think we'd see until next year. We're seeing him this year. So, I mean, he's a prospect, but not like a top 100 in baseball prospect. What are your thoughts here on Martin?
Yeah, I'll probably pass on him here. I think it's just a little bit too early for him. Like like you said, his AAA numbers are really good. Hasn't had that success in the majors as often. That start against San Diego notwithstanding. Maybe he figured some things out in that, but on a full slate here, I don't think I need to just kind of plug him in and hope that he repeats that success. Not necessarily scared of the Minnesota offense, but I just don't trust Martin enough to play him on a 15 game slate, I don't think, or 14.
I mean, to be fair, there is no no power in this lineup. Like, Nick Gordon is the highest ISO in this lineup. So,
well, I mean, Correa is there. Like, Gordon's small sample. Correa has more power than Gordon. I don't think that's debatable.
No, just kidding. Yeah, I mean, I don't hate Martin. I don't think I'm going to play Minnesota against him, for what it's worth. I mean, yeah, you could take a shot on Correa, but I think this is a spot I'll probably end up staying away.
Yeah, that was a Minnesota side. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think that Martin can run into some trouble here. So I'm a little bit interested in Minnesota. I like Correa. Arise is cheap. I don't mind him, but I really need to find a stack to be able to play him. Gordon is cheap. You just mentioned him. So like those three, I think you could put in a little stack together. The problem with playing Arise is he's first base eligible, which is not ideal because he doesn't have very much upside to be playing that position. So the Correa one-off is the primary target here, but I don't mind Gordon. I don't mind Arise.
Any interest in the White Sox?
Varland's not a guy to be afraid of, but the White Sox offense has been something to be afraid of for most of this season. I think you can take some shots here, though. Varland is just average at best. Like I said, a young guy who's not really even a prospect. I like Abreu. I like Jimenez. Moncada is still cheap. Sheets is really cheap. I like him a lot. The stack's in play just because Varland is not somebody to be afraid of, but I don't know. We'll see if it was an outlier on Tuesday night or if they can repeat the success.
You never know what you're going to get from this team. The thing is, like, Varland has struggled a little bit with home runs so far. It's a 4-game sample size, but like you said, he's not like a huge big time prospect. He's kind of like the same guy as Winder that they faced yesterday. Yeah. And it could be a similar type of outcome. So I think the White Sox are okay. Again, I don't think you full stacked anybody today, but I think they're a mini stack that I'll have on my list. Chicago Cubs, Cincinnati Reds, finishing off in Cincinnati for your Cubbies, 8 total. The Cubs are 120 favorite here. We got Sampson against Ashcraft. Any interest here in Adrian Sampson?
Not at 8,100. Sampson has been a surprise this year. I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to stick in the rotation in the second half, and he's performed really well. He's even flashed a little bit of strikeout upside, but now that price tag has climbed all the way up to 8,100, I don't think the upside's there at that price tag, even though like this Cincinnati team has a ton of strikeouts in it. If he was 7,000, I'd have some interest, but 8,100 is just too much to pay for Sampson.
So, yeah, I think I disagree with you. I'm allowed to do that. We're allowed to not always be on the same page. Sampson, if you look at like his yearly numbers, you're like, I don't think I want to take a shot on him here. But if you look at like his second half numbers, you're like, he's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can get behind it. Like, at the end of the day, this Cincinnati lineup might be the worst lineup in baseball rolled out today.
Friedl left the other day, too. So he's not going to be in there.
He's not going to play.
Yeah. He got carted off. He's done for the year. They already said.
Yeah. I think the one guy you're worried about is like Fraley. Like, that is the one guy that you're worried about in this lineup for Cincinnati. We'll talk about him when we get to bats. I mean, he's 4,700, so I don't see us really playing him. Maybe we could, but Sampson's 8,100, and I hate the price like you do. But on the flip side of that is this dude has thrown at least 6 innings in 5 straight starts. He's stretched out. We're not going to get much of that today, and we're not going to get many better matchups than facing a Cincinnati team that doesn't walk. They strike out a ton. They have 2 or 3 power bats at most. 8,100, I think, is fair enough where he has to be on the list today. If you're playing Ohtani, Sampson's a good mix as an SP2. He's not overly expensive, and we'll have some cheap bats today for sure. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think he's a good pivot off of Marco Gonzalez, who I think will get some ownership today facing Detroit. So I like Sampson. I don't like Graham Ashcraft, even though the Cubbies aren't the best team in the world. This guy just doesn't have a ceiling. Like, it's the opposite of Sampson, right? Like, he's not throwing a lot of pitches in his last few starts since coming back up to the bigs. Like, he didn't cut it the first time he was with the team. Like, I don't see this working out.
Yeah, Ashcraft is tough to figure out because the stuff looks like it should play really well. He has like a 100 mile an hour sinker. Like,
it's like a cutter. Understand. Yeah, it's nasty.
He throws both. Yeah. And he throws super hard too. Like, he doesn't have the best breaking ball, which is why he doesn't always rack up the strikeouts. I agree. Like, he's been hit really hard when he's been out there. Great ballpark in Cincinnati here for this Cubs offense. I'm on the Cubs side of this one.
I love Ian Happ if he's in the lineup today.
Yeah.
He smashes sinkers and cutters. It's not a huge sample. I think it was like 45 batted ball events or whatever it was, but he's 4,400. He should hit cleanup here. Suzuki has good numbers against sinkers and cutters this season. Again, it's a small sample size. But yeah, I mean, I see a lot of hard contact in this matchup. He's really struggled like reverse splits wise. So like Suzuki, Contreras, Horner, Reyes, Wisdom, like any of these guys that you want to pair with Hap, like I think all Hap's numbers against sinkers and cutters are just so good that this is definitely a three-man stack in this ballpark that I want to play today.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like the Cubs, like look at their record over the past like 2 months. They're above 500, surprisingly. Like I know the names aren't that great, but they've played some pretty decent baseball here to close out the season. I love the Hap call. He's my favorite as well, price considered and everything. Suzuki is expensive, but I will have a little bit of him as well. It depends on who else is in the lineup because there's not a ton of upside. Like if Morel's buried in the order, that's always tough. But he's a guy that has upside if he happens to hit at the top of the order.
I think it's Reyes. Wisdom's a huge fly ball hitter too against a ground ball pitcher.
Yeah, he's expensive though. Also, Kiros has been leading off here recently. He's 2,700. I don't know, to be honest, what his batted ball profile looks like. I didn't even look at it, but he's really cheap and he's been leading off here recently. But yeah, Hap is the primary target because of his price. Suzuki's right next to him, and then I'll just play whoever's in good spots in the order. Especially if we get some cheap guys at the top. But I do like the Cubs quite a bit here today.
Any interest in the Reds?
Oh, man, there's just no talent here. You mentioned Fraley, but it's so bad. And they're expensive. Like Farmer's priced up. India's priced up. Even Fraley is 4,700. I think Steer at 3,300 is the first guy that, like, I'd be comfortable with at the price. Yeah, like Aquino has huge power if he cracks the lineup. It's like this ballpark's awesome. It's probably the best hitting spot, depending on, I don't know what the weather looks like exactly this far out, but like weather's cooling down. This is this like one of the best home run parks in baseball. The dimensions are some of the smallest in baseball. So I think it's a great home run spot here. I just don't know that Cincinnati has the talent to kind of collect on that.
Like Fairchild has been so awful recently. Yeah, just going back to my conversation like about Sampson. Yeah. Kansas City at Cleveland. Heasley against Civilli. I didn't see a total for this one yet. It's still not up. So, any interest here in Jonathan Heasley?
No, thanks. Been really bad. Cleveland's a tough offense to try to attack. No interest in Heasley.
Yeah, the only way that I would have any kind of interest here is if like the top three or four hitters in this lineup sit. because they play Friday, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they play Friday. So, like, if Rosario, Ramirez, Gonzalez, and Jimenez sit and they, like, take all the low strikeout rates and all the power out of the lineup, I think you could potentially make an argument for him.
This is another great call, but you're absolutely right. I bet Cleveland rests some guys because they're gearing up for that wild card game.
Yeah, so I think it's just a lineup type of thing. He'll throw 85 to 90 pitches if he's pitching well. He's had some decent games here recently. If the lineup's really bad, I think he could be a conversation piece. Nothing more than that. Like, he's 7,200, could be low owned. Savelli on the other side of this game, he's not going to go deep into this game. He's kind of been around the 75 pitch mark anyway. He could go out and put up a good number at 75 pitches, but first sign of trouble, I mean, they need their active arms. Like, they're going to use, they'll probably use Bieber. I don't know who would be, who
McKenzie's
would be
their, in there.
Who would be their second, though?
You don't Bieber think McKenzie
is hands down number one? You think it's
McKenzie's think it's been McKenzie? Awesome. Yeah, I think it is.
So they're going to use, like, whether it be who's going to start Sunday between, you know, Savelli or Quantrill. I know I'm missing somebody.
Plesac.
Plinko. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's just who it is. But someone's going to have to start Sunday, and it might be like a mixture of Plesac and Savelli or Quantrill. So, yeah, I mean, I don't expect them to go too deep in this game.
Yeah, I you're right. I was trying to think of their other, like, it's definitely Bieber, McKenzie, but I think Savali's their third. I really do. I don't know. I think it's Plesac and Quantrill are the other two. Savali's been, like, decent here down the stretch.
I think they roll out Quantrill on Sunday if it gets to that point, yeah, for what it's worth.
Yeah, you're probably right. Either way, I think they'll be careful with him. He hasn't been stretched out anyway. He's not, like, he has some strikeout upside at times, but he's not a huge strikeout pitcher. I'll probably just take a pass on the situation altogether.
Because, like, we talk about, like, Cal Quantrill's, like, negative regression all the time. But at the end of the day,
he's getting it done.
Like, he's not a high upside pitcher, but man, he is in real life a good pitcher, which I hate to say, but, like, he's 14-5 this year. So let's talk bats in this one. Anything here on the Kansas City side? Perez didn't play Tuesday with the thumb. I highly doubt he plays in this game.
Yeah, that makes it tough. Witt has a ton of upside. Melendez can fill a catcher spot for you, but he is super expensive. Pascatino's price is coming up too. I'd still play Pascatino at 4K. It gets rough after that. I think those are the three I'm looking at primarily. I'm not even sure that I want to make that a three-man stack because it's so expensive. And Massey's not minimum price anymore. It's tough down here. I think Pascatino's the best play at 4K. Witt for the upside, but he's 5,900. Not a ton of interest in Kansas City, despite I don't mind picking on Savali. He gives up plenty of hard contact, but don't like the pricing on the Royals here very much.
I don't think the Guardians roll out a normal lineup here. If we get some cheap bats towards the top of the order, I think you could use them as, like, secondary pieces today, depending on, like, who it is. I think this is really just going to be lineup base for me today. We'll see what the lineup looks like. Like, I mean, if Naylor's in there, you know, hitting like second or third, he has the power to hit a home run at 4,700, but I'm not going out of my way to play Guardians. I if they roll out some cheap bats here, I think that's where you'd have interest in them.
Yeah, I had Jose Ramirez written down for my home run call in the morning grind game.
There's no chance he plays today.
Yeah, maybe. I completely agree with you. I think this is a great rest spot for them gearing up for that wild card game. So I will ad lib on the fly here as we go through these games. But yeah, like, I had a ton of interest in Cleveland if they were going to roll out a full lineup, because Heasley's bad, especially against lefties. So Naylor and Ramirez, if they do happen to play, are two of my absolute favorite bats on the slate. But I'm kind of with you. I think Cleveland rests some guys here. Whatever lefties are in there, like who Will Brennan is the young guy who's a lefty. Like some of those guys are going to play. So I definitely, especially if we get like cheap lefties in the lineup, that's what I'm really looking at here.
Yeah, I mean, like, you don't even have to, like, look up and be like, oh, is this guy played every game this season? Is he going to try, like, Iron Man? Like, no one is ever going to touch Cal Ripken's number. Like, it's never going to be touched. Like, good luck. No chance. I mean, just no one's going to touch that dude's number. What was it? It's like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, like 12 seasons in a row. I think he played every game or something like crazy. Like, good luck. Not going to happen.
There's so much like analytical data around fatigue and things like that.
Yeah.
That now happen in major league front offices. Like they're just like, if your exit velocity drops 2 miles an hour, like over a 2 week stretch or whatever, you're going to get some extra time off because they can like detect fatigue like more than they ever could, but like in the past. So it's just a different game. There's way more data to deal with. Completely agree with you that record's never even, nobody's getting close.
2,632 consecutive games.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right, though. Maybe, I mean, yeah. 10 seasons? Yeah, I mean, gosh, you're never touching that. Like, no. Lou Gehrig is second at 2,100. Like, Cal Ripken, you have a record that will never be touched. Congratulations. Yeah. Anyway, we're moving on. It's that type of day. Tampa Bay at Boston. Chirinos against Pivetta. I mean, here's another team, right? Tampa Bay, Chirinos. 4K is cheap, but this is going to be a bullpen type of game for the Red Sox or for the Rays here.
Yeah. He did go four innings last time. 4K, I mean...
He went four innings in the beginning of September before he got optioned down to AAA.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
and it was only 47 pitches.
I don't know. Is he the guy? I didn't even. Okay, that was my. But what was he doing in AAA? Was he stretched out in AAA?
The season,
because he might ended, just be the guy that they're sacrificing today.
The season ended like a week and a half ago.
So he hasn't pitched in a while. Yeah. Yeah, he's not going deep here at all. Not that, yeah, like that's what I was considering though. If you get four innings out of him, there's not a ton of upside here. But
he pitched on the 25th in AAA, so I mean, less about 10 days through four innings. So maybe four innings is the right number.
That's the absolute max. I would say that's a ceiling. You're probably
that was the most he had pitched. He had started a couple games down in AAA when they got sent back, and 3 and 4 innings was his two starts.
Yep. I'll pass. I piqued my interest just because of the price tag, but I don't think you're getting enough for him to be in play on a full slate.
Let's talk about Pivetta on the other side of this game. We saw a couple key pieces sit yesterday for Tampa. I don't know why they'd play Franco here. Just maybe get him another at bat. But with Lau banged up, Peralta kind of banged up with the hip. He was supposed to play Tuesday, and then like his hip was bothering him. Mejia paternity list. Like, I think Pivetta's playable here, depending on the weather in this game. I think Pivetta is someone they let go 90-95 pitches here, and. I mean, even if it's a normal Rays lineup, like the strikeout upside is still super appealing in this spot. So, I mean, this is Pivetta's last start before good old fashioned arbitration. So I think he wants to kind of prove something. And he's proved a lot this year for pitching in Boston, in my opinion, being a fly ball pitcher and being able to do the job. Okay. I hated it when he got picked up by the Red Sox, but I think he's okay in the spot, depending on the lineup. But the lineup they rolled out yesterday against Valdi, it was not great.
Yeah, I Pivetta is my favorite cheap pitcher on the slate. 7K, you don't even need like 9 strikeouts from him, I'd be totally fine with 6 innings and 6 Ks for 7,000. And I think that is definitely in play here against this Tampa Bay team. Even if Franco is in there, if Franco is not in there, like there's like when he was out with an injury, we were targeting this Tampa Bay team because of how many strikeouts there were in the lineup. We could see a strikeout heavy Rays lineup here rolled out as well. Even if they go full strength with it, I still have interest in Pivetta because of the price tag. I'm completely on board here.
Any interest in the Tampa bats?
I mean, you can always chase home runs against Pivetta, but who do you do that with on the Rays is always my problem. Like, I don't want to pay $5,700 for an Orozarena home run. He probably needs 2 at that price, unless he gets a stolen base with it. Yandy Diaz, I guess, at $4,200, potentially. Paredes, he's been better against lefties, but he's got some power. That's really it. I'm looking for a home run because of the fly ball pitcher in Fenway, but I don't think I'll stack against him.
I don't think the lineup will be good enough to stack against him, to be honest. So,
yeah.
The Boston bats, I think they're a little interesting here against Chirinos. For some reason, Xander Bogaerts keeps playing. He hit a home run yesterday as well. I mean, I don't mind a mini stack here for Boston and Fenway if the weather is okay. This is one of the games that we have some potential weather. That area just in general right now is getting a lot of rain. But yeah, I mean, I don't mind a mini stack here for Boston. I think they'll roll out a pretty normal lineup. And you can take some shots here on Devers, Bogaerts. It's just expensive.
Yeah, I mean, but there's upside there. Great ballpark, like you mentioned. And Boston has some cheap pieces. You can lower the pricing of the stack as well. Like Cassis is still $2,900. I'll play that guy for his power. Kike is still $3,300. Maybe Hosmer cracks the lineup at $3,300. JD's all the way down to $3,800. I mean, I don't hate any of these guys. And, like, Chirinos isn't going more than 3 innings, I don't think. So I wouldn't be worried too much about that matchup. Like, it's primarily just wanting an offense in Fenway is the reason I'm interested here.
All right, Detroit at Seattle. We got the battle of the lefties, Alexander and Gonzalez. No total in this game. Seems to be a common theme today. Tyler Alexander, $4,800, going up against Seattle. Another spot situational, like we could potentially see a watered-down Seattle lineup, but I don't know if Tyler Alexander has enough ceiling even against a watered-down lineup that I think I want to play him.
Yeah, I don't know where this recent stretch has come from. He had a couple of really good starts there. Got hit around a little bit in his last one, I guess. But before that, against Baltimore, he went 7 innings, 4 strikeouts. Like, he's 4,800. So I think that's why, like, a fully stretched out starter at 4,800, if this Seattle lineup is really watered down, I think he's in play. But I don't know if the upside's there. Like 6 innings and 4K, is that enough on this slate? I don't know.
It's so close, right?
Yep. Like, because it's going to allow you to fit like Otani and it depends on lineups today. Because if Houston doesn't roll out a full lineup or the Dodgers don't roll out a full lineup, like it depends on how many premium bats there are to pay for. But if there's teams like if the elite offenses roll out good lineups, I think to fit Otani in a premium stack, he could be in play potentially.
I don't think I want to play
Otani Burns.
Yeah, I don't think I want to play either pitcher in this game.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in Gonzalez. He's going to go deep in this game, but there's like he's not going to record strikeouts. I saw there was a tweet out there that Gonzalez is going to pitch as deep as he can to preserve as much of the Seattle bullpen as he possibly can. Even if he goes a complete game though, like he's just like, what's his strikeout upside?
So he's going to be pitching even more to contact in this game. He's going to be trying to get out of innings.
Yeah.
I don't want to play Marco Gonzalez here. That tweet is interesting because pitches equal ceiling on a slate like this, but
I mean he legitimately might pitch 110.
Oh man.
But there's it's the strikeout upside even against Detroit.
Like, yeah, but I mean
the wrong hand.
Even Detroit though, like they strike out a lot less against left-handed pitching than they do against right-handed pitching.
Yep.
So all right. If Marco Gonzalez was a righty, I think I'd have interest in him getting that tweet about pitching as deep as he can. But let's talk Detroit bats. I don't mind some of these Detroit bats. Eric Hosse, Baez, maybe. It's more of like what you just said. They're going to let this guy go. So getting some of these like right-handed platoon hitters against the lefty for, you know, three at-bats is kind of appealing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Like, Marco Gonzalez is not somebody I'm afraid of. I love the Baez call. Like, Gonzalez throws like a good amount of strikes. Baez is going to be swinging at everything. I love the Haas call, even at 4,400. Has hit lefties really well throughout his career. Fills a catcher spot. Love that. I think there's some punts that you can look to as well. Torkelson, I know it's been really rough for him. I think he homered yesterday, though. So maybe coming on a little bit way too late, but he's 2,200. This is like coming into this season, he was one of the best prospects in baseball. I know he had a disastrous season, but for 2,200, I'll take some shots on Torkelson too.
Seattle, I mean, if we get a normal Seattle lineup here, like if they're going to just roll these guys out there to get them at some at-bats, I love France, Haniger, Suarez, Rodriguez, but I just don't see them rolling out a normal lineup here. We'll see. You never know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think all the teams that are playing wild card games are going to rest guys more than likely today.
Yeah, I think that's it from this one. Moving on, San Francisco at San Diego. San Diego is going to use some bullpen here. It sounds like Clevinger is going to open and maybe go a couple innings here. We'll see. See if that's going to be the case or not. But and then Morjon's going to come in and hopefully give them a few innings. So, yeah, it's an interesting. And then Luis Ortiz is pitching for San Francisco. And we're not playing any of these pitchers, right?
Correct. Yeah, this looks like two bullpen games or two. Both sides are using bullpen games here.
Soto didn't play Tuesday. We'll see if he's back in the lineup. Machado took Monday off here. Oh, any interest in the Giants bets?
It's like a team that platoons as much as they do, and then a bullpen game on the other side. Like, Morjon's a lefty, right? I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Clevinger starts, like, that's what we have listed as the plan right now. That's a disaster for a team that platoons as much as the Giants do. So, no interest in the Giants for me.
I mean, I don't even know if I necessarily love San Diego in this spot. If I mean, are they going to give these guys full games? I like the spot. I mean, if we knew they were getting a full game here, this would be a team that we'd be, you know, talking about quite a bit.
Yeah, another wild card team, and I'll be very leery to play the wild card teams on this slate. I think it's too risky. Like, we have no idea what they plan to do. But I would just much rather play a team that's been out of it forever and they're just going to roll out their lineup and go with their guys. I'd much rather play that on the slate, I think.
Yeah. Washington at New York. We didn't talk about the Blue Jays game, right? I think we skipped over it. Yeah, I skipped over it. Yep. Washington at New York. Fetty is pitching for Washington. The Mets had DeGrom scheduled. There's no chance that's happening. He's pitching Friday. There's no chance DeGrom's not getting the ball game one. Sorry, Scherzer, not happening. They have Carrasco too. They have such a good like rotation. Man, this team is going to make a run. It's going to be fun.
Bassett's been really good too.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch what happens. I am, even as a Red Sox fan and watching a lot more American League baseball, I'm so interested to watch the NL playoffs. I think the Dodgers are the best team, but I think that Braves, Mets, I think the World Series might run through the NL East this year. We'll see.
Braves have been playing out of their mind for a really long time here.
Yeah, the Mets rotation is just
good. Yeah, and the Mets pitching is, yep.
But, like, it's not like the Braves pitching is bad by any means. Don't take what I'm saying wrong. But, I mean, we're not playing Fetty, and we don't know who's pitching for the Mets, so let's...
Yep.
I mean, Fetty could get a really bad lineup, and I still don't think I want to play Fetty.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's just, like, the Mets will rest guys today. Like, they played all in up until Tuesday because they still had an outside shot at the division. But that's not the case anymore. Atlanta clinch. So, yeah, I fully expect a terrible Mets lineup, and I still don't think I want to play Betty.
There's just no way Lindor and Alonso are in this lineup. It'd be interesting to see if, like, Vogelbach plays. Nimmo probably not going to play. So, but anyway, any interest in the Washington bats, assuming that we're going to get a softer matchup here for the Mets pitching, they're going to sacrifice somebody.
Yeah, they definitely will. But who do you play on Washington here? Tough ballpark, Citi Field, great pitcher's park, and Washington. I just like, there's not like Meneses is all the way up at 5,300. Even if we get a lefty, I'm not sure I want to play Meneses at that price. Abrams is cheap. Voit is cheap. But, man, it's been a rough year for him. Just not a lot of talent on this Washington team. It's a great pitcher's park. I don't have a ton of interest either way here.
Yeah, I don't. Man, I think the Mets are going to straight up punt this game.
I do, too.
There's nothing for them to play for at all. I don't know. Like, okay, Mets bats. I don't think Alonso plays. I don't think Lindor plays.
You know
plays.
Who might play is Francisco Alvarez, who is a catcher that is the best prospect in baseball.
Yeah, he had a home run yesterday.
Yeah. Fire that guy.
Yeah, I like him for sure. Cheap catcher. Trying to think, like, who else, like, Naquin probably plays, you know, against Fetty. I like that. It's just the matchup against Fetty is fantastic. It's just it's in Citi Field still, so maybe like a secondary two-man stack. But I definitely like the call on Alvarez for sure. Big-time prospect.
Yep.
He's making fun of Dean because he didn't know who he was the other day.
Dean.
Good old Dino. Oh. Listen, Dean does a great job of knowing a lot of the prospects. So yeah, whenever I can take a shot on him.
That's why I was surprised he didn't know. Like, he's legit. Like, I'm not exaggerating. He's the literal best prospect in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, we could, there's like four or five guys at the top of that list. You could make an argument for any of them being the top one.
Yeah, I mean,
one,
and so. Hitting prospect too. Like, Gunnar Henderson is in that conversation, but he's been up for a month now.
Adley Rutschman, man. I'm impressed.
He's not a prospect anymore, though.
Not anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about, like, if you look at a top 100 prospect list right now, the top name is Francisco Alvarez.
I know what you're saying.
I don't think Henderson has graduated quite yet, but...
The last time I looked at it, it was Alvarez, Henderson, Corbin Carroll,
yep,
Anthony Volpe, and Grayson Rodriguez, if I remember correctly. So what's crazy, like, I was talking to someone about this the other day. Baltimore has three of the top 15 prospects in baseball. And if you think about their second half of the season, you're like,
you seriously, right? It's scary.
Yeah.
They're going to be legit.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know who doesn't have a ton of prospects? The Red Sox. They do have a very good shortstop prospect, so I'm very interested to see if they do something with Bogarts or not. Because I don't think Mayer is ready yet, but it'd be really interesting to see how that plays out.
I'm a little surprised they did not trade Bogarts at the deadline. Like,
I mean, who wants there's a few teams I think of that your Cubbies don't have a lot of prospects either, so you're in the same boat as me. Welcome.
I think the Cubs are improving. They're going to surprise some people. Their system is a lot stronger than people think.
All right.
Wisniewski, just the trade deadline last year, they added a ton of prospects. They've just done a lot better job with player development than when they were rebuilding last time. Like, obviously all their first rounders hit, and that's why they won a World Series. This time around, I think the core development system is a lot better. So we'll see if that leads to a little bit longer sustained run than just draft everybody in the first round, get lucky with all of them hitting, and put together a core that way. They did it a little bit different this time. We'll see how it pans out.
There's a guy I was reading about the other day in the Cubbies organization that's supposed to have like a really, really good slider, Ben Brown or something.
That's the guy they got for David Robertson at the trade deadline.
Yeah, so there you go.
And Wesneski's the guy they got from the Yankees. Yeah, we don't have time to talk about Cubs prospects here.
I mean, no, you're good. We got Philadelphia at Houston, Falter against Valdez. Valdez, first of all, do you have any interest in Falter here? 8,300 against Houston.
I think he's like Syndergaard's not in the rotation for the playoffs for certain, right? So Falter is potentially a rotation piece. Like, I don't think he's going very deep here. It's a matchup against Houston. I don't think I have any interest.
Wheeler gets the ball Friday. Nola gets the ball Saturday. And when you think Ranger Suarez gets the ball Sunday?
Yeah, I do. But eventually they'll need a fourth if they advance.
But you still need him to kind of be stretched out. They have Zach Eflin too, which they moved into the bullpen a long time ago. I don't know. It's tough to say. But I will say, like, unless Houston rolls out a really weird lineup today, I probably don't play Falter because there's so many other pitchers that I like on the slate. But he's shown some decent stuff here recently, but in good matchups, you know, like he pitched well against Washington. He pitched well against Miami. He struggled against Atlanta. Like, I don't know, a normal Houston lineup. And it's really interesting as far as like Houston's concerned too, because they don't play for a week. So do they get these guys at bats? Who knows? Dusty Baker said he was rolling out normal lineups for the rest of the year. So
yeah, so I'm much more likely to play the teams that have the buys than I am the teams that are playing the wild card games, just because like they have such a long layoff that I think they want to get them some these final reps here on the last day.
Valdez, man, I want to see the Philly lineup.
Yeah, my problem here, like Valdez's value comes from him pitching deep, and like I don't think he's gonna.
He's been struggling big time though, and if there's a bad Philly lineup and he's pitching well, they might let him go 6 or 7 innings and get one really good start under his belt before the playoff starts. Because he's not. He's in the rotation, but he's not like a mainstay in this rotation. With McCullers being back.
Oh, so, Valdez is still in the rotation, though.
He'd be what, third or fourth, right?
Third. Yeah, he'd be third. Like, they're not going to go Garcia or Javier.
I think they go. Christian Javier has been an absolute stud, dude.
I think I could see a piggyback situation there with Valdez starting the game. Just because Valdez is so good at, like, Valdez is a really, really, really good real life pitcher. Like, yeah. He's not great for DFS, but in real life, he's phenomenal. He's their three, pretty solidly.
I mean, you could argue that McCullers is the fourth. I mean, health wise, I don't know. Houston's really good. That's what we're getting at. Yeah. They have four Houston's really awesome. Good starters. So there you go. Yeah. But Valdez for me is all going to be depending on the Philly lineup. If it's a normal Philly lineup, I don't think I play him. If it's a weak lineup, sure. But I don't have a ton of interest in this game as a whole. on the Philadelphia side, bats wise?
Yeah, I'm definitely not playing Philly bats against Valdez. I don't care if he's only going 80 pitches. I just his ground ball, like he can get wild at times, but he like his ground ball ability is not something I ever try to pick on.
And then the other, I mean, I like Houston here. If we get a normal lineup, I could see playing some Houston in this spot. It's just you're always really kind of worried about like our guy's going to pinch hit for. I know what Dusty Baker said, but like this dude has struggled big time with hard hits, fly balls, and striking out right-handed hitters. So Pena, Altuve, Bregman, Gurriel, McCormick. Like I have interest in the Houston bats.
Yeah, I do as well. Definitely need to see the lineup. Obviously, I was just trying to look it up. Did they do any of the weird pinch hit stuff?
Oh, I can look it
on
up
Tuesday
quick.
Night. I'm looking for the box. I mean, they put up 10 runs. I imagine they pulled some guys. Yeah, Altuve got 3 at bats. Pena was in there for 4. Tucker got pulled. It looks
Tucker's
like
been banged up though.
Yeah. But he still got 3 at bats. Like they didn't pull guys until they were already up huge. So yeah, I'm pretty interested in Houston here.
Yeah, I mean, even 3 at bats against Foltner might be enough on this slate. Cause yeah. I mean the pinch hit risk for any team in the playoffs or any guys that are under contract for a long time with the team is the risk is high.
Yep.
Atlanta at Miami. Max Fried going up against Hernandez. I've totally meant to look up Hernandez's like pitch count in the minors before we did this, and I totally forgot. So that's on me. Any interest in Max Fried?
I don't think there's any chance they let him go deep here. He's not a huge strikeout pitcher, and he's 9,400. It is a fantastic matchup against Miami, though. Like this could be a Verlander type of start where he goes 5 in it. Like I don't like the 10 strikeouts. I don't know if he has that ability, but he could go 5 innings and strike out 8. He's in play, but I am concerned about the upside. I'm not even sure. Like because he left his last start early, I think they want to get him some work. So I think he does pitch in this spot. Because he has the full 4 days before they play again, right? Like they have 6 days off, I think.
Yeah, they don't play till
because they have the bye.
Yep.
Yeah. So Fried's going to pitch because they want to get him some work. He only threw 71 pitches before leaving with an illness last time. So I think he'll be out there. I'm just really concerned it's going to be for like 85 pitches. And he's not a big strikeout guy anyway, but Miami strikes out a ton against lefties. So I don't know. It's a balancing act here. He's in play, but the upside, I'm worried about I could easily see him getting pulled at 80 pitches.
So Hernandez has been starting. He started the 11th and through 5 innings. He started the 16th and through 5 innings. He started the 21st and the 26th and through 6 innings. Site that I used to use for pitch counts is no longer working, and I was trying to find it on the minor league website and they're not showing pitch counts. So annoying.
Yeah.
Normal Braves lineup, no interest in Hernandez at all. Watered down Braves lineup, which I think we'll get a normal lineup for the Braves. So I don't think it will matter. But if we do get a watered down lineup and they just don't want to get anybody injured after like a really tight race down the stretch here, I think I'd have interest in Hernandez if like Atlanta rolls out a B squad.
I think they might rest a couple guys. Like Acuna, he doesn't play, right? Like he's been kind of banged up all year. I think the time off would do him well. I don't know. It's a tough thing. We'll just have to wait and see on the lineup because you don't want a guy sitting for a week and not playing in a live game for a week also. We'll see what the lineup looks like.
I mean, Acuna, Swanson, Riley, Olsen, Harris, everyone played yesterday on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think they might sit some guys.
I think this is a perfect opportunity not to get anybody hurt going into the playoffs and saying, hey, one extra day, what does it matter? But right. I'm also not a manager, and I also did not win the NL East for like, what is it, the fourth or fifth straight year. So who knows what we're going to get from the Braves. Check the lineup. I mean, that's the easiest thing. As far as like the bats go, normal lineup, you have some interest. Miami opened the roof on Tuesday. We could see that again. It's beautiful in Florida right now. So, if Atlanta normal lineup, I have interest. If it's the B squad, I have interest in Hernandez. That's how I'm approaching this spot.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same feelings. Hernandez is a guy who has been decent in the minors, has shown some strikeout ability. So if he gets a weaker lineup here, good park in Miami. The roof being open is not ideal for pitching, but definitely if it's a weak lineup, you can still take some shots. Don't mind that price tag at all.
As far as like the Miami bats go, I think if Freed even pitches 85 pitches, I don't have interest.
Yeah, completely agree. I'm not playing Miami.
Arizona at Milwaukee. Kelly and Burns. No total in this game because the books are like me. What is Burns going to do here? Merrill Kelly, 9K. A lot. I mean, he's been pitching good, but he hasn't been pitching like 9K good.
He hasn't. I have some interest here, though, I think. Just there's a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah,
strikeouts in the Milwaukee lineup. Kelly's last one was real bad. He got roughed up by San Francisco. Gave up 8 runs, but yeah, I mean, it's been a little shaky for him. He had a really good stretch this season where he was like lights out for a month and a half, but looks like he's kind of fallen on some hard times here recently. So I probably don't get to too much at 9K, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, if like Yelich and Renfro and those guys are out of the lineup, sure. But yeah, I don't think I want to play a lot of Kelly at 9K. And I mean, if Burns starts and pitches here and I mean, goes the distance, like I just don't know the argument for pitching him a full workload here. But hey, you never know. Like they rolled out Eric Lauer yesterday. He threw 6 innings and he threw 97 pitches. You give me Burns at 97 pitches, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good baseline there. What we just saw from Lauer, like both of these guys should be in their rotation again next year. Burns is obviously a little bit more important than Lauer, but I don't know why they would do anything different there. So
I mean, they had really quick, I didn't mean to interrupt you. The other like thing to like consider here is like this is a home game. They're not on the road. Like they're playing in front of their fans one more time. These tickets were bought, you know, weeks ago. Burns is getting the hill for the last game at the home, like home game for the year. He's not going anywhere in this Milwaukee team. So like this is like, I think it's a different situation than some of the other spots we talked about today.
Yeah, this is similar to the Ohtani situation, I think. Like, probably not going to go over 100, but I think he gets 90 pitches here. So I definitely have interest.
It's like we're talking week one baseball all over again. any interest in the Arizona bets?
Nope.
Any interest in the Milwaukee bets?
More so than Arizona, but not a ton. Kelly's a pretty decent pitcher, but that like this rough patch here has me thinking you might be able to pick on him. I don't mind lefty power here. Tellez, Yelich if he's in there. Wong is cheap enough. Adames and Renfro are both priced up, but totally fine if you want to make it a stack. But Tellez and Yelich be the primary two targets.
All right, we finish out the last baseball regular season podcast of the year with Colorado at LA taking on the Dodgers. Noah Davis, shocked that he's pitching in this game. Going up against Clayton Kershaw, any interest here in Noah Davis?
Nope.
I mean, different team. Maybe I could take a shot on him, but I was looking at his like minor league numbers and like he's not a huge K guy. Like this is a guy that spent the whole season until one start in double A. I just don't understand why they called him up for this game.
He's probably a guy they had to add to the 40 man anyway, because he was Rule 5 eligible or something like that. So they're just getting a look. I don't know. He's not one of their like top prospects.
He's not a bad prospect.
No,
he was,
but
he was like, I don't in the Reds top. Trade for, what was it? Givens, I think, or something.
I don't remember that one. But I don't even think he was top 10 organizational. Was he? I mean,
he was a top 10 prospect in the Reds organization pitching wise. But who knows, you know, like who knows? You're not playing against the Dodgers.
Yeah, no.
There you go. Not playing him against the Dodgers. not playing Kershaw either, right? No way he's going over 90 pitches. He hasn't been going over 90 pitches anyway. Like, good matchup. I think when he hits six innings, I don't think it matters what his pitch count is. He's going to get yanked.
Yep, I agree with that. And we have Burns and Ohtani, who I think have decidedly more upside, so... Yeah, I agree. Probably not going to play him here.
Any interest in the Rockies bats? Nope. Okay. Nope. Any interest in the Dodgers bats?
Yep.
Again,
guy coming up from double A. Like, if we get enough cheap value in there, this is my favorite 5-man stack, I think. They're really expensive again, and we definitely want to play some Burns and Ohtani. But we'll have the cheap guys throughout the other lineups, the cheap bats. I think you can make the Dodgers work here, even with one of Burns or Ohtani.
I don't think I'd play Betts if he's in the lineup. They have been very careful with him. Gallo replaced him in like the second or third inning on Tuesday. So I don't think I'd play Betts because he's 6K. I want the cheaper guys that I know are not going to get pinch hit for him. Lux, Bellinger, Gallo, Thompson type of hitters.
Yeah, I like that call.
All right, final regular season morning grind game of the year. I am crushing the co-host this year as far as record goes for the morning grind. So I'm kidding. I don't keep track of it. If someone ever wants to keep track of it, kudos to you. I'm never going to keep track of it. Way too much work. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got today?
All right, let's see. I'm going Pivetta here. I like the spot for him.
I'm cheating. I don't even care. I'm going Samson. 8,100. Last day. I'm allowed to
cheat. I'll allow it.
Yeah. Close enough. Because I knew you were going to pick.
He's Pivetta. The obvious one.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other one that I really think the other one could potentially be Elizer Hernandez if we don't see a normal Braves lineup.
Good call.
I'm cheating, though. I'm going Samson. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Give me Falter facing Houston.
I like it. I'm gonna go. Give me Valdez.
Okay.
I just don't know if we see him get a full workload. So
I can get on board with that for sure.
Over 4K to go yard. Who you got hitting a home run today?
I forgot to come up with something, so I'm searching. Give me Seiya Suzuki.
I'm going to the same game, but mine's a lot cheaper. Give me Ian Happ.
I thought you might do that, so I didn't want to take yours. That's why.
I had a second one ready to go. pro tip. My second one was Haniger. There you go. Last day of the regular season. I had two.
Get a freebie out there. Yep.
Yep. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's a cheap bet that you like today?
So, Judge is still trying to get the batting crown. Luis Urias is 3,800. I think they play him just because it's kind of bad faith not to. And they don't have anything to play for anyway. So, give me Urias. I think he holds on to that batting title over Judge. I don't even know if it's mathematically possible for Judge to catch him after today. But I know that was a thing yesterday. So,
I am going to go with a guy that has had such... Someone that was so pumped up to come into this year that we talked about a lot preseason and has just had a terrible year. I like him to end the season on a positive note. Give me Cabrian Hayes from Pittsburgh. Stack to score six or more runs.
Give me Houston.
I like that. This one's tough today. You know what? Give me your freaking Cubbies.
That's what I thought you were going with, because I had Cleveland originally with Ramirez, so I was pivoting there too. And I was like, he was on the Cubs. I can't really take that, but
I don't think we see a lot of teams score more than six today.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, we're gonna see a bunch of weird lineups, some potential short leashes on pitching. So definitely a weird day. Tons of games though. You can find enough spots to get some upside for sure.
My original answer that I had written down was Boston, for what it's worth. I do think if the weather is okay and we're going to get a full Red Sox game, they're really interesting today. They're playing at home. Tampa's going to be running out guys they don't want to burn up for the playoffs. So, I mean, Torino's starting is everything that you need to know about what you're going to get out of Tampa Bay today. So, They're not playing for anything either. Like, they are with the Mariners winning the other day. Was it Monday or Tuesday? With the Mariners winning, like, the Rays are like the bottom wild card team. They're playing the Guardians. So, yeah, I mean, that's who they're playing on Friday. Anyway, it's going to wrap it up here for the last regular season baseball podcast of the year. Keith, thanks for hopping on for Grant and filling in. You'll be back again tomorrow, 3 days in a row. For Eyes 819, football podcast tomorrow. So I'm actually going to be looking at some football when we get off the podcast, because I love jumping on like fantasy props early in the week.
Yeah.
And I like looking at it Tuesday night, especially. I'm going to go do my baseball like premium work now, because nothing is going to change before lineups come out anyway. So there you go. So anyway. That's going to wrap it up here for Wednesday. We'll be back Thursday talking football. We will have a postseason wild card podcast Friday for anyone that wants to listen to that. So good luck, everyone. We'll see you again on Thursday.